Ricardo.
Steve, are you reading a manual from a flight? It looks like something you'd read if you were sitting in the emergency aisle and you had to read that before they come by and check and say, sir, are you qualified to do this?
Steve will never sit in the exit row ever, dude. That guy will be the one guy to ask to move. It's like, I can't do that. I don't want to be responsible for that.
Oh, no, bro. I sign up for that every time. All that legroom.
You know, Steve gets those random security checks all the time before going through.
I get rid of that beard.
He's been vetted a few times.
I've been profiled a couple times.
He's been gloved once or twice.
Full body. And with that, we'll start a new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex. With me as always are Nate and Steve. Ben's on daddy duty tonight. Did you say morning?
Yeah. Fuck it.
All right, 8:06 p.m. Steve's waking up. Time zone still not a thing for him. Oh man, Steve, it's too much. You're gonna have to get your time zones right because the Champions League draw happened. Celtic got a pretty decent group. We can go through those today. Also, we're just a few days away from Greg Berhalter retaking the reins of the U.S. men's national team against Uzbekistan. So if he messes that up. Riots, I guess.
The only
real bring back BJ.
You bet he can against Uzbekistan.
Yeah. Hold on, Steve.
Kick him out for that. Kick him out just for that. He needs to.
I'll kick myself out. I don't.
Yeah.
The episode's off to a flying start.
Fucking hell.
The Premier League's in a little bit of a break because of an international break. It's that way too early international break that just makes no sense. 4 or 5 weeks into the beginning of the season, why are we taking a break? Not sure. Never sure. Here we are. We also have some Man U in turmoil yet again. I think it's a reality TV show that portrays itself as a football club. That's really what it's turning into. Anyway, we'll give you the thoughts from Ben on the week and just have Steve react as he did in our private message. So speaking of Man U, Antony is the latest player of the Manchester United squad to have assault allegations come out against him. We'll dive into more of that story in a bit. Anyway, Ben's take is he's shit. His take on the rest of the week going. Newcastle have a defense problem. Celtic cheated. I know Steve's got a hot take on that. Man U played Johnny Evans, which is essentially a cyanide pill in footy. And my trash take is irrelevant, rather, because Louis van Gaal broke the internet, sharing international football is fixed. I believe he did that in a social media post.
Johnny Evans came on as a sub, like, late. So I wanted to go confirm that. I know fact checker Ben's not on here today, but he came on in the 84th minute. So let's slow the roll on that agenda.
All right.
For who tuned in on that game, talk about, from going from a winning position to losing position in very, very quickly. It's like VAR. Yeah. Very quickly. Is that your last?
You're like consulting. You're like, what is it?
What I'm consulting quickly, as well. I'm consulting the stone tablet. That is FOTMOP. I'm consulting that tablet. What a game, though. What a game. I mean, the offside. Once again, as much as I hate to, I don't want to, plead United's side, but, it was another one of those, the line lined up to his pit and then went down. It was just one of those armpit, shoulder offsides, which would have never, ever been called by a human eye in time. So, but it's if you're a VAR supporter, you're like rules are rules, So, what are you gonna do? Disallowed, then they go and score.
Yeah.
So.
And VAR.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alex. Mm-hmm. But is it this weekend? I get my weekends mixed up sometimes. But that goal that City scored, was it against
Fulham?
I think it was Fulham. Who coaches? Who's in charge of Fulham? Nunes?
Fulham's manager?
Ruben? No. Who is it?
Marco Silva. He was a live goal Silva. Everton chap.
If you look, have you guys seen the goal that I'm talking about in question? Where I forget the City player, but the City player is kind of like obstructing, or he's not in, he doesn't directly, he's not part of the play. It's a shot on goal, goes through like a, you know, a mix of defenders.
The Nathan Ake goal.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
If that wasn't City, I don't think the goal would have stood.
Yeah, I think Mike Dean did his little Sky Sports thing, and he said it would it was 1,000% offside, and everybody on the field got it wrong.
Speaking of the referees now coming out, I think we have – here's the one I saw yesterday. I forgot about Mark Hastley. Mm-hmm. You all would recognize when you saw his face. Howard Webb. We've seen Clattenburg. And now who did you say? Mike Dean?
Yep.
They're all now coming out just saying, like, that was wrong. That was wrong.
Yeah.
And this is that's a call that I've seen you make before. So you know, you're almost shooting yourself in the foot. It seems like they're so relieved they don't have that job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand 100%. That. I mean, they're almost. And what did Mike Dean say the other day about one of the VAR calls that it was a call that he made that he felt bad about it. So he didn't send it to something with Anthony Taylor.
Yeah.
And he came out and said, I didn't send it because he'd already had a tough game. Like, oh,
right.
That's not. Right. That's a bad
thing. Terrible look.
Yeah.
Terrible look. Yeah. And that's the state of English refereeing. You know, I mean, that's supposed to be the peak of it, you know, and I don't know.
Is it really better in any other country? I mean, I'm trying to think of a ref that I like, and I can't, there's a couple German ones that I'll see in the Champions League every once in a while, but I can't. They're all the enemy always. So that's how it is in every sport. Who cares? You know.
Yeah.
They make mistakes.
But going back to the City goal though, the concerning thing is that everybody who looked at it said that is 100% not a goal, and with VAR, which was consulted
mm-hmm.
It's concerning as to how that's still allowed when it's unanimously not really up for debate. When it's unanimously, anybody who's has an, you know, and I knows an iota about the game of soccer sees that, knows it's offside. It's no contest of whether or not it is offsides. It is offsides, and it's still allowed after VAR check. It's got to be. It's a bit concerning. You start wondering. Okay. Why? What are the other reasons as to why this would be judged onside? And I just wonder the City. I wonder the City aspect of the fixture. I do. So,
an interesting part of this season is the referees, basically their union, the PGMOL, have released in-game audio from any of these VAR checks. I think it's the full game too, but especially of these VAR checks. And the video assistant referee, Tony Harrington, during this Man City game, basically he said, I'm checking the goal. Akanji, is standing in an offside position. He's made an obvious action to impact the ability of the goalkeeper, ? He's moving out of the way of the ball. Then another video assistant referee, Adam Nunn, said, in my opinion, he makes a full length save, the keeper. So for me, it's subjective that there's potential impact on the keeper, but it doesn't clearly impact him. I think the keeper sees the ball the whole way. And then Harrington, again, the first video referee says, so the keeper sees it. There's no difference. We're happy. Check complete. And then everybody says, check complete.
How can you? This whole thing needs a revamp. It needs a whole thing. I don't even know how to do it. They've screwed it. I don't know. I think NFL instant replay is so much. I feel like soccer VAR is so rushed. Like we gotta go. It's like,
I mean, it is.
I'm not talking to Steve here. I know I'm not a big NFL guy, but how many times, Alex, have you seen? Maybe Steve too. That like an instant replay, especially in a a playoff game of the Super Bowl will take 10 minutes.
Yeah, you'll go to commercial.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, hey, it's
like the hell in soccer, though.
Why? Yeah. If you're going to do it, go the whole way. Go every mile. You don't half-ass it.
I think if you have a 10-minute review on a call, it's no longer seen as a viable way of double-checking, of verifying calls.
I agree with that, too.
Because there's no way that anybody would allow – people are already complaining that it already takes too long. There's no way that you'd be able to allow the free-flowing, timeout-less game of soccer to allow for 10-minute stoppages. Yeah, what if that happened twice consecutively? That's 20 minutes, and you know what I mean?
Plus they're adding the extra time
for
added time.
Maybe I'm an old head, like thinking like the old ways change, but like I just don't like the game already loses some of its flow and spontaneousness with the implementation of VAR. Taking VAR and beefing it up to that degree, I think you'd have a different product than soccer. It would be something different.
You sound kind of like Sepp Blatter right now, which I agree with. I know I got you there. But his point, dude, I remember when this sort of came out, because everyone was like, this happened in high school. My junior year was when Lampard had that ghost goal against in the World Cup. And everyone's like, maybe we should implement something that can stop us from happening. And I remember all the old heads, probably Infantino, Sepp Blatter, all those guys were like, no, this is not going to work. And everyone's like stuck in your old ways.
Yeah.
I mean, this needs, I agree, dude. The whole thing about soccer is there's no stoppages unless it's halftime. And I don't know what to do.
Right. And I don't want to shoot down somebody else's proposal as to how to fix the problem without having a solution to the problem myself. But I just don't.
That's what a podcast is for, dude. What do you mean?
Well, it's like complaining about an issue but not offering a solution. It's like you're not helping anything, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I find it difficult to see a game where, you know, a time chunk can just be eaten up like that. It'd just be different. It wouldn't be soccer anymore. You'd have commercial breaks. I don't think it can work. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think we saw City had some other ones. I remember in our run in a couple years ago, Rodri had a handball.
Hopefully somebody else is thinking about it. Just moments of the weekend. Yeah.
I remember Rodri had one against Everton that was, I don't think it wasn't last year because we were so bad last year. It might have been 2 years ago, but it was so obvious. And I remember everyone in the booth was like, yeah, that looks like a handball. And then afterwards they were like, yeah, that was a handball. But the on-field team judged it to be, obviously not a handball. So it's a slippery, tricky slope.
I don't know how it gets better because you have that team who is reviewing all that information. Either it can become more defined or more efficient in the same amount of time or less, or it gets scrapped. And I don't think it'll get scrapped because VAR. Well, I guess I'm going to get confused with goal line technology, which involves like multiple cameras and stuff like that. But VAR. I think we've went down this road of VAR for so long that it's almost like we can't turn back now. We're too far down this road.
But I think you're right too. Never get rid of goal line technology. You're thinking about the whole Hawkeye stuff. You know,
keep that. I like goal line technology is good. Yeah, and but I mean, just be like, yeah, that's a goal.
And we saw an example of that. Liverpool against Villa at the weekend, at the end of the game, they had a header that Alisson saved it on the line very quick. I mean, I love looking at seeing a referee check his watch, and you know that there is no – it is scientifically that his decision is correct. It's not even his decision. It's like, you're like, but no, I saw it cross. No, it just didn't. So that's how can we get to that point with VAR? Get rid of the subjectivity. I don't know. Maybe in 2200, the year 2200, we can do that. I don't know if we can do it now.
Maybe that's just something that we have to deal with VAR. Maybe because like if you don't have VAR, you have the human element to it, and whenever you implement the human element, there's always going to be error, no matter what. Certain degree of error. You can try and limit that with better, you know, teachings, coachings of the referees and whatnot. But there is, to some degree, always going to be some sort of error. With VAR and VAR, which is a tool, it is not its own, you know, human interpretation of VAR. Maybe we're just always going to have error with it. And instances like what happened with Fulham and City.
Yeah.
Maybe those things happen. But I guess when Alex was reading the dialogue that was exchanged by the referees in deciding on that goal, I can see the logical steps that they're. I can see the thought process. Yeah. But when you see it, when you see the video, I don't know. It's like they were looking at. They were talking about like the details of like the goalkeeper being fully outstretched and whether or not he had eyes on it the entire time.
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you know if you had
But even if you have eyes on it the entire time, like if there's a player that's like right next to it and he's in an offside position, that can still matter. But I'm no referee now. What do I know? But
well, it comes down to that one word that you were talking about, Nate, subjectivity, which I believe came up in there
in right.
the audio of their call, subjectivity. So it's all down to how it's perceived by, it appears in this instance, three referees. Who at different times had different opinions and then came to one opinion, which I guess is a positive spin of what VAR should do. It should all come to a consensus in the end. But how they got there, I think this releasing of the audio, I don't know if, you know, they're kind of making that as a transparency play, but I think in the end, it just drives more debate.
I like that.
So do I. Yeah, I do. I like it too, but I think
the transcript being able to see it.
I think they need a clean house in terms of their decision-making processes and even some of the referees in particular before they go like releasing the behind the scenes shit show. I think rugby, if I may be incorrect, I think rugby does it, and hockey does it too. Mm-hmm. Talk about two very pure sports, you know, very violence driven, and there's very little subjectivity to some point. But yeah, something needs to be fixed. I've heard someone called on Twitter like re-reffing the game because, like Steve said, there's always going to be a human element until you employ. Like a program.
An AI.
I mean, and hey, maybe we're going.
AIR.
You never know. I mean, but it's all, even like I mentioned in NFL, it's like we still see instances of human error even on a 10-minute replay break.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah.
We may never be rid of it. We may just be in this. We can get closer to that point, but we're still never going to be 100.00%. You know,
part of me loves that human element. This debate, how, you know, obviously Man City or Fulham aren't our teams. But if they, one of them were, you know, you'd have a slightly different take on this, a biased take on this. And it's one of those things that even is like, you know, as a young person, you're watching the game, whatever. And like an event like that happens and you're like, oh, remember that game where you got screwed? Like, I remember that. You can talk to somebody about that 10 years from now.
Yeah.
It's, still as much as it's infuriating, it's part of the game, you know.
I guess maybe the ultimate question has to be asked: if the target is to call a perfect game, every call that the referee makes is correct.
Yeah.
If the goal is to call a perfect game, you could say that goal is like a bullseye. Has the implementation of VAR gotten us closer to the bullseye? Has it?
Yes. You know,
is
it? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I would say that we are trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be as fast in the right direction that everybody wants, or because now that you can see it on video, like it's people have to, or I don't know, but because Pete, the referees can see it on video, you think that they should be able to see what you see, but obviously subjectivity comes into play. As long as I guess that you're trending in the right direction towards the bullseye, that's all you can ask for, I suppose.
Yeah.
As long as it gets there quicker rather than later, I suppose. I'm just looking at the rest of this weekend. Liverpool beating up on Aston Villa. Is Aston Villa terrible this season? I feel like they've been kind of beaten up.
I think you look at their fixtures. I mean, you know, they're in Europe, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, and I think they're building a decent team, but I think last year and maybe even 2 years ago, this is a game that could have been honestly the exact reverse, especially last year. And you gotta love, I know it's Steve's boy, you gotta love the Hungarian who's just hungry for goals. And that was, you know, people love their Twitter edits, you know, people love those. But it's, of course, someone put a Steven Gerrard goal that was very similar to that one. I mean, he hit it. You couldn't hit it better. That was really the only highlight from the game, and that not conceding.
Yeah,
that guy's a freaking dog. Can I member of Dominic Silva's last supporters club? Can I change my name?
Is Mo Salah going to Saudi?
So no. Well, I believe tonight is the night. We only have 40 minutes left. Let me make sure I have enough time to talk about this. No. When did the English window close? That was last Friday.
Last Friday.
Or maybe it was Wednesday. Is it 31st or the 1st? Doesn't matter. But they're talking about coming in with 150. We need time to replace him.
Right.
And who's on the market that's at his caliber? Mbappe, like, he's not going to come now. And then they even talk about today coming back with a 200 million.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine texted me. He was like, Nate, I know you love Salah. This could be a Coutinho-esque transfer that funds future, a future decades of Liverpool. And I'm like, but we're going to go buy someone in January.
Yeah.
Like, we have to go the whole year without a 20 to 30 goal player in all comps. So no, not happening. I think their window closes this week. The Saudi window.
Tonight
or tomorrow. So that's over. If they included a clause like, we pay you 150, but he goes next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I would take that every day of the week. Only thing I'd be worried about is his maybe dropping his head a little bit. But no, he's here. He'll probably leave next year. But if we get Champions League football and Klopp stays, I would not mind if his head turns. I mean, dude, where would you rather play? I mean, I know the money. I don't think Egypt's considered Arabia, but he has those values, and that you get that more in Saudi Arabia. But I mean, you're playing Champions League football and you're playing in one of the best leagues in the world. So
yeah.
He might even have a mind to say again, but I kind of doubt it. But I think we can at least get 80 to 100 again in the summer, which I would be okay with.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah. So eyes out for this summer. Sheffield and Everton tied. Thanks a lot, Steve. Trash takes ruined. West Ham beating Luton at their 10,000 seat stadium, the high school stadium in Florida. Tottenham beating Burnley 5-2. Bournemouth and Brentford tying. Nottingham Forest, the big surprise, beating Chelsea 1-0.
Matt Chelsea Turner, man of the match.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think. Yeah.
Palace beating Wolves. Brighton beating Newcastle. Ben says we have a defensive problem. I think we have a midfield problem.
Evan Ferguson's a good dude. Ireland might have something on their hands there with Ferguson.
Yeah. And then we talked about Arsenal beating United and Liverpool beating Villa. So that was that week. I mean, I don't want to glaze over Newcastle too much, but it's everything I said last week.
You're the host.
It's all the deal with the midfield. I think it's not gelling together. Eddie Howe will hopefully figure it out. I think the international break couldn't have come at a better time, though.
Yeah.
You're going on a little bit of a losing streak like that. You need some reassessment for sure. So we'll see. U.S. men's national team, Uzbekistan. Are we going to win?
Are there no qualifiers for us to play in? Like, I mean, like a real game.
Yeah, like a friendly instead.
I mean, so with, I mean, that, of Uzbekistan is that on what? Is that on Thursday?
It is on September 9th, which is
Monday. No,
what? Monday.
Nate,
yeah.
Count.
No. No.
Is it Monday? Saturday. I can't. Nope. It's a SEC education right there, boys. Saturday. Yeah. Saturday. 5:30 on a Saturday.
City Park in St. Louis.
You know that's going to be on ESPN Plus too. No. A Peacock.
What's it on?
Peacock, TNT.
TNT.
Turn. Any this is kind of a little bit, well, we can transition to this a little bit later, but I was looking at some of the, so obviously the transfer window for the most part is done and dusted, but I see that some last minute ones are kind of creeping across the lines in terms of like free agents that were free. and there's been some notable ones, I think, that have happened during this summer. Sergio Ramos being a recent one.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Yeah. I was so I was super surprised as to how, or that took him that long to secure a club. Apparently he had a lot of offers from Saudi Arabia and also MLS, said no to them all. And he signed a 1 or 2 year contract with Sevilla, which is where he came up through.
And I think I had known that and I'd forgotten that. Did we see the post with him and Jesus Navas that they had both grown up there?
Yep. They were like, we're back at our club. And then he got introduced today, right? In front of the crowd, and he was crying and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty emotional for him. Yeah.
So that was one that I thought was pretty notable. This was a little bit later or earlier in the summer, but Isco.
Mm-hmm. Betis.
Yep. Real Betis. He's played, don't quote me on the exact numbers of how many matches La Liga has played so far, but I think he's played like four, maybe five games, and every single one of those games he's been man of the match for him. So maybe a little bit of a resurgence there. I always thought East Coast quality. I just think in like the stats-driven game, he doesn't. Maybe he has like consistency issues in terms of numbers. So maybe they go for different ways of creating things. And I think that he's kind of like an old school kind of player in terms of you just kind of like wander in that space and kind of just let create things kind of like.
What's the old saying? If you watch the game, you don't see Ishko. If you watch Ishko, you see the game, you know, that old, you know.
Yeah, I could get on board with something like that.
Real Madrid's tough too. Real Madrid can swallow you whole. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can. So
it's definitely a second chance kind of thing for him.
Yeah. Basically, all of these have Real Madrid ties. I'm seeing now. James Rodriguez. Anybody know where that guy's at now?
Nope. You got to tell me. I have no idea.
He's playing in Brazil now for Sao Paulo.
Wow.
What has happened to that man's career?
Ooh, I love that. They have good kits. Good kits.
Golden Boot winner in the 2014 World Cup. Played for Real Madrid, then played for Bayern Munich, then played for
Everton.
Everton for a second.
I think we're heading the downward slope.
Then he went to Qatar or like Saudi Arabia, and then he went to Greece. He went to Olympiacos, and then he went to like Greece. I'm sorry. Then he went to Saudi Arabia, and then he's in Brazil now. It's just like, and every deal is like terminated by mutual consent. Everyone's just terminated. So you wonder what's going on with that guy. Last one I wanted to mention was Eden Hazard. Go ahead. Retired? Yeah, I was seeing reports that he's 32 now, and his time at Madrid was so rough that he's, according to reports, a few different reports, not just one place, but he is very much considering retiring, and his like immediate party, are trying to convince him to carry on his career, but he's pretty much like he's done. He doesn't want to play anymore. That's what the reports are saying. We'll see what happens with Hazard, but gosh, what if you would almost think that there's something in the water at Madrid with it, with how he went from.
I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm looking at it. I don't want to say I got no love for the guy. Anyone who's ever worn a Chelsea shirt, I got little love for you, but no doubt in his ability, but dude, sure. Madrid, like, I think a great example of Madrid swallowing you up. I don't know if it's a great one, but Kaká, I think he's someone that went missing there. I think it'll get you some time. The fans.
Yeah, the fans Spanish are horrible. Fans are horrible.
I mean, dude, hey, passionate, but dude, they will sharks in the water smell blood. I mean, they will kill you. And having Perez as a president, another cutthroat guy who's good at business, good at managing a club, but
if you lose a game at Madrid, the club's in crisis, yeah. Then it's a difficult atmosphere to be. It takes a certain person to be successful. It's not for everyone.
Jude Bellingham successful right now.
Yeah,
He's killing it.
Is finding his form there. Evolving to like a even higher level than. I think he's getting to levels that we all maybe thought were possible, but he's doing it so quickly that it's like, all right.
Yeah.
It still surprises me that we did not get him, but anyone was like, oh, glad we didn't get him. We've replaced the midfield three times over with what his fee would have been. But like, yeah, I think he had 3 goals in 5 games. How many games did they play, Steve? And I know you said don't quote you, but
it was like, I think he'd have like 5 goals in 4 games or something like that. I thought. Don't quote me. But I thought.
I hope it keeps up. I like him. Seems like he's got a decent attitude, but still a little salty, but
yeah. Speaking of transfers and everything, there was this report that just came out today. I don't remember, CIS, whatever. Man U, since the year 2014, have a net negative transfer balance of 1.4 billion euros, the worst in all of Europe, shortly followed by Chelsea and PSG, both over a billion. Arsenal comes close. Negative 872 million. Then it's Man City, Newcastle. It's cool. Barcelona, Tottenham, AC Milan, and West Ham of all teams making out that top 10. But yeah, if you think about it, Man U, 10 of their biggest signings have arrived in history since the year 2014 and have all left since then. Pogba was 105 million euros. Lukaku was 84 million euros. And Angel Di Maria cost them 75 million.
Team Rio's friend of mine.
And they did not recoup nearly as much as that when they sold them on.
I mean, their transfer policy since.
We're talking about Chelsea?
Madrid. United. United. I mean, the transfer policy or transfer strategy, you could say, really since Sir Alex retired, has kind of just went back to the drawing board. Honestly, it didn't really seem to be a plot. It didn't seem to be any course or correction plotted out, and they were just going in directions with full funding apparently.
I think it's all time to say that the club that Sir Alex built is long gone and dead.
It's not even a thing anymore.
And even like what you said earlier, Alex, I was trying to think when you said it's like a soap opera or like a drama every season.
A reality TV show.
I thought back to when was the last time you remember United having stability? A very small chance is like Ole's last year. I think they were in Champions League. I think they got out of the group. He got sacked, obviously. But I mean, I think I remember Ben Foster, who I forgot played at United, said like, you know, some of the stuff that's going on at United now, it would have never, ever, ever happened under Alex. And as much as I hate United, he kept the tightest ship of all time and one of the most winningest teams that English football has ever seen. So I love every minute of it. I'm sure you do too. But it's, I mean, what do they got to do? I mean, is it who, where do you gut? What do you gut? What do you separate? They've gutted a lot of like the front office. They change a coach every 3 years.
Well, that's the other thing that's happening is,
how much, I don't know, maybe Steve.
Manu stock, for Benjamin, if he's listening, is at like an all time low, because they can't find anybody to buy the team. So
I think I've said this, I don't know how long ago, but I said this on the podcast at some point, but I think that any player who opts to join or wants to join United is deluded. They're like viewing United through like rose tinted glasses of like nostalgia and yesterday.
10 years ago.
Yeah. They think of United and they think of that United. That United hasn't existed for a long time and it's not going to exist again. So and if you look at it objectively as what the current club is now, like the last 5 years and what direction they're still trending, it's complete uncertainty. I was going to say obscurity, but that's a bit harsh. I would say uncertainty. There's no telling signs of a trending upwards trajectory. If anything, it's just a lot of turmoil. It seems like a lack of direction and just too much money to know what to do with. They don't look like they're really pushing to win anything.
Yeah,
they could win games, but they're not going to win anything. It doesn't seem like.
Carabao Cup.
I would love to hear Ben's opinion on that one, but but I just, for anybody besides a paycheck, obviously, because United's going to pay you quite a bit. But if you're getting offers from United at that point in your career, you're obviously going to be getting offers from somewhere else as well. And I feel like somewhere else has to offer more stability, a better work environment, you know, than what United could offer. It just doesn't seem like a place that you'd want to go.
Unless you're an abuser, apparently.
Apparently.
And accused
of abusing. Do we want to dig in that?
Man U has been accused of a cover-up at this point now with Anthony. Apparently assaulted a girlfriend, and the said girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend, claims that the team even had a medical squad come out and check her out and everything, knew all about this.
I did not know that.
These are all claims from her. The club apparently denies it. It's messy.
You're denying it. You better be right about you weren't there.
Exactly. I mean, as a United fan, you better hope. Well, you don't better hope because this is it's a horrible situation, but you got to hope that she's dead wrong about everything. But it's just so, you just got to tread so lightly.
Apparently she put out WhatsApp messages. Trying to see if I can read them. But that's apparently where these allegations from her side come from.
You just got to not be an asshole.
I mean, and it's literally weeks after, you know, Mason Greenwood. I mean, he went to go join Getafe to apparently go rehabilitate himself.
I still don't understand that.
What I didn't understand about that one was what made me kind of cringe a little bit was Mason Greenwood's announcement video for Getafe. He walked out to a bunch of fans. Is just a little weird, but they were like kids with signs. And I was like, we know the background of this, right?
Yeah.
I think this one should have been a quiet in the door. And we'll see him in the training video, you know?
Yeah, it was strange. It made me wonder, it's like the whole, we talked about a couple of episodes ago, the whole machismo, like culture. I was like, is that type of stuff just not.
Yeah.
Taken as seriously in that culture, that part of the world? Am I I've not been to Spain, so I can't say. I don't, but I was, when I saw all the people out at that reveal and he was, you know, cheering, there's a lot of people there, and I was like, we all know the story here too.
right I mean, at the same time that Spain, you know, our whole big part of our episode last week was about Spanish football. And
I mean,
today, Jenny Hermoso, you know, officially accused Luis Rubiales of sexual assault. You know, Spain has fired their women's head coach. I believe Rubiales has been suspended at some level right now. It's just like, it's insane.
Yeah, dude.
That's what's going on in Spanish football.
Greenwood's got to be the nail in the coffin. I mean, after all the news cycle they've been through, you got to say, like, guys, we got to make a statement and say, no, we're not going to put up with what he's done.
Yeah.
And then they welcome him with open arms. And some of that's got to be staged. Also, is he even that good? The kid's what, 21? It's like Barcelona and Madrid are famous for their big stadium unveilings.
Yeah.
It's Getafe and it's Mason Greenwood. Like, it's so clear that there is a massive blanket trying to be put over this. Like,
yeah.
I think I saw today Getafe tweeted, like, we love you, Mason.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What the hell is that?
Trying to make him lovable? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I really do that.
Yeah, can't get into Getafe too much, but we do know from Man U, they put out a statement today that disabled all the comments on social media, which was amazing because it was 53 words. And within it, they said that they, quote unquote, acknowledged the accusations from Anthony's ex-girlfriend and insisted that it's, quote, taking this matter seriously. So that's good. It's very good. Good of a club to take matters seriously. Meanwhile, the Brazilian FA essentially has booted Anthony from international football. They say, we're not even prejudging you. You know, we're just kicking you out, saying you got to go. They said to preserve the alleged victim, the player, the Brazilian team, and the Brazilian FA.
Take notes.
Yeah.
Greenwood's still tied to United, is he not?
He's still. I don't know how the contract was written.
He is still theirs.
Sometimes I pay his salary, sometimes I don't. But he is. He can. You know.
It's ridiculous that all of the public statements or the articles that you read or whatever, like United's even official like thing is like Mason Greenwood will not develop his career further with United. But we're still going to own them and loan them out so we can make money off of this. Like it's just, it's so, I don't, it's not a, it doesn't, when I, my first impression, when I read these things, when the United's like, you know, he's going away, where his future is not with us, but yet they're involved in every article and every statement because they refuse to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
My first impression after the conclusion of reading one of those articles or reading one of those statements is this is not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good look. No matter what way I dice it, United don't look good in any of these. But they continue to drag their own name through the mud by refusing to cut ties with this person, even though they say they've cut ties. They say that this player, they will not continue further. He will not continue his career any further with this club. In what conditions would you still keep a player if he has no future?
Yep.
I don't think we'd be talking about this to go back to Anthony. So, you know, by the way, Greenwood was acquitted, found not guilty. I don't know the legal term.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
she backed
to be fair to Anthony. Anthony hasn't been arrested. No charges have been brought up against him as they were against Greenwood.
So you can almost see how United kind of opened the door a little bit to how they're just like, well, hey, he wasn't found guilty. They haven't said that yet, but obviously they're still acting under the presumption that he was not guilty. But I love the way the Brazilian FA, and even it just sounds like they're done with it. I hope United follows suit, even without a court case. You know, it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but it seems with these two cases, it was, you know, I don't know about the Greenwood trial. I don't know what happened with that, but it's just not a good look. To anything less than full condemnation should be.
With this type of stuff, it's almost guilty until proven innocent, which is
especially with the evidence that was put forth,
which I don't like. Like, you know, you want to the innocent until proven guilty, but
the whole
that proven guilty thing might take a long time, and the evidence might it's
the recordings were not good for Greenwood. I mean, they were not
the Anthony thing, like the Anthony thing,
even the Anthony thing, the pictures. I mean, it, you know,
I guess I didn't see any photos. I really don't know much about what you guys past what you guys said. I don't really know much about anything, like anything more than what you've already said. So, like photos or videos or audio, I haven't seen anything. But I don't know. It's it's an interesting. It's just,
Who is the Jadon Sancho too, putting out a message this after this weekend's past game, going off essentially slyly going after Erik ten Hag, saying that he's the Sancho feels like he's the scapegoat for a lot of things. That was what you were referring to, Nate, with Ben Foster saying, you know, that would never fly.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Under Sir Alex, you know.
I think that Manchester United have employed Barcelona's marketing team.
Dude.
They call it United Gate, and they just like they just juiced it up, but with more money to make the effects that much more stronger. I don't know, but I think you have the Greenwood thing, you have the Anthony thing, you have this now the Sancho thing. This is all within the
also
the Harry Maguire thing. Not leaving, like that transfer saga coming to a close, and like he's not going to West Ham and all this stuff, like. Something the math's the math's not mathing.
Math ain't mathing.
The Barca gate is now United gate. There's no other explanation.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about Champions League? Man United during Group A of the Champions League.
Yeah, let's take a look at that.
Should we go through these and take a gander and see who we think's gonna go through?
Are you able to put the group on the video right here?
I've got mine right here. I don't know if I can share, but I've got mine.
I'm working it. Slovenia.
If you're not, it's not a big deal. I'll just put it on my phone.
Nah, I'm working it out. You know how it is. Just so you know, for Group A, it's Bayern Munich, Harry is going to take on Man United, Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. Who just went to Galatasaray?
A bunch of people.
Zaha. That's right.
Mara with
Cardiff. What did you say, Steve?
Dude, there's been a lot of people that went to Galatasaray this summer. I know Mauro Icardi went. Wilfred Zaha went.
That's a good one. Yeah, Icardi's good.
Gosh, I was looking at like today, earlier today.
So it looks like Galatasaray and Copenhagen both went through playoffs, and I think that I know that Copenhagen, I'm pretty sure Copenhagen beat that team from the Faroe Islands. No, they didn't.
Oh, they got those two players from Tottenham. They got Tanguy Ndombele, and they also got Davinson, the Colombian who used to play for
Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez. They both, those two Tottenham guys, they got them at Galatasaray as well.
I think it's going to be almost how it looks. Except I think probably Galatasaray over Copenhagen. But even, I mean, God, just United just can't get it together in the Premier League. Are they going to get it together in the Champions League? I hope not, but that it works also, like that sometimes. So
Hakim Ziyech, went to Galatasaray this summer.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know. Galatasaray sounds kind of stacked.
They've got some – there's some players I don't know, like Angelino.
With a couple of, hate to say, has-beens. But that are still that are
they can still do a job.
They could,
Out of this group, I say
Bayern. Definitely.
I'm gonna say Bayern, and I'm gonna say Galatasaray. We're gonna throw it in there.
That's what I was gonna go with. It's gonna be close between. Isn't this the season where it's like the weird? You can come third and kind of halfway get through.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I think that that's going to be a situation here for either Man U or Galatasaray. But yeah, definitely Bayern. You have to feel our favorites in Group A. Group B is Sevilla, Arsenal, PSV, and Lens. This is a very, very red and white themed.
Very red and white. Yes, it is.
They're gonna have to work out the Champions League third kits for this group.
Arsenal and Sevilla. I don't know enough about PSV, sadly, or Lyon to to be able to say much. But I always rate Sergio Ramos, and I think Sevilla. I mean, Sevilla have won the Europa League seven times, and they've won it like four times within the past like 5 years or something crazy like that. That's not exactly true, but loosely true. Sevilla is a strong side with a lot of European experience. I don't see a reason for them to not get out of this group.
Yeah,
we did see PSV absolutely just race past Rangers in that second leg.
But we did.
Their front man is Luke de Jong, who's been around a while, and they have Sergiño Dest, who, by the way,
and Ricardo Pepi.
But I mean, Sevilla does have a little bit
and Mark more. Tillman. Come on, man. It's Team USA, basically.
I know.
Malik Tillman, excuse me.
Tillman came from Rangers, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, Arsenal, Sevilla.
I think. Mm-hmm. Concur.
I'm going with Team USA, PSV, and Arsenal going through. Group C, Real Madrid, Napoli, Braga.
This one's tough.
Union Berlin.
This one's a tough one for me. I would say you'd have to say Real Madrid. Napoli and you in Union Berlin. Union Berlin have been off to a flying start. Mm-hmm. And Napoli just winning Serie A for the first time in what, 30, 40 years, some whatever. I don't know Napoli's form this so far this season in Serie A, but just judging off of how strong they finished last year, and they went pretty far in the Champions League as well. Union Berlin and Napoli are both quite strong sides. You just both kind of in form. I don't know.
Union Berlin, this is their first time in the Champions League.
Yeah, what a story. I mean, they just went.
They were like League Two 7 years ago, something like that. About a story.
Yeah, I think they got promoted to like Bundesliga Two, like, and yeah, around like that. Spent a year or two and then went to Bundesliga, and then like their second season in Bundesliga finished like 11th and then like 7th and then champion. Like they have been on a trajectory that is going straight up. So yeah, you know what? Union Berlin. Sorry, Napoli. Sorry. That trajectory doesn't fall here.
Lo siento.
I'm seeing this one as it stands. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What?
Madrid, Napoli, Braga, Union Berlin.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I kind of moved. I lean towards Steve. Steve's learned opinion.
Okay. Group D, Inter Milan, Benfica, Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg, and Real Sociedad.
I feel like we never see Salzburg will absolutely blitz the Austrian league, but we never really see him convert it for obvious reasons to the big stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think what Di Maria is at Benfica, he just took a pretty low money move, which you got to applaud him for, kind of like Sergio Ramos a little bit. Xabi Alonso doesn't coach Real Sociedad anymore. I don't know. I don't know enough about Sociedad. I'm not a big La Liga guy. I'm gonna.
Sociedad just signed. Somebody recently. I am gonna say Inter, Benfica, Real Sociedad, then Salzburg. But it's gonna be really close. This whole group's gonna be really close.
I like that.
It's gonna be the finest of margins on how this gets decided.
Yeah, I think Sociedad struggled.
They're always so close. I love that.
Yeah. I think Sociedad struggled in La Liga this season so far. Yeah, they have Kieran Tierney.
Kieran Tierney went to Sociedad. That's who it was.
What a weird signing.
Yeah, it just wasn't hit. Yeah. Just wasn't working anymore at Arsenal, which is super strange. I think that treatment of Kieran Tierney has been not fair. But
yeah, no.
But he's on to...
Should have come to Newcastle.
I think he was rumored for Newcastle with it for a bit.
He was a long time. I mean, he's a great sign. I mean, he'd replace Dan Byrne immediately. be a left back. Starting left back. I don't understand why that one. I mean, I can understand why, I guess, from an Arsenal standpoint, but anyway. Group D, Inter Milan, obviously returning from the Champions League final last season, so they'll probably get through. I like Benfica. I think Benfica goes through. Group E, Atletico Madrid, Feyenoord, Lazio, and Celtic. This is a good
probably another close one. And I don't know. Feyenoord probably, you're probably going to flip them back down to the bottom.
Celtic second place by the skin of our teeth.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'd agree with that.
But we make it. We make it.
Lazio,
this year.
I think they still have
Steve, like who's first? And
Madrid.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
I don't think. Yeah, I'm sticking to it. Celtic make it out. This is our year that we make it out of the group.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I like that. There we go.
This is as good a draw as I can remember.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
This is the year.
Yeah. I'm going to say Lazio Celtic.
Atletico. You're just going to shit on my parade. You're looking at the eyes. You're like, yep, this is your year.
I'm like Lazio fan art.
That's what I thought you were. I was like, Alex, you're dead to me. What are you doing?
Yeah. Lazio Celtic.
Celtic going to make it out.
And then the group of death.
Group F. The group my of favorite. Death. PSG, Dortmund, AC Milan, and Newcastle.
You know, the only team I don't want it to make out of this group is PSG.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only team I would enjoy not getting out of here.
In my heart, well, God, I like Dortmund and Milan so much. In my heart, it would be maybe like Dortmund and Newcastle to advance to get Dortmund back in the look. Besides you, Alex, I actually like Newcastle a little bit. Okay, so even though you have an anti-Liverpool agenda, but in my noggin, I'm probably I don't know. I think it'll be probably Dortmund, and then either P. I don't. This is it's. The group of death. I don't know
who I want to make it out. I would want like AC Milan and Newcastle to come out of the group in no particular order. Those are the two that I would prefer. Who I think realistically will make it out of the group is probably PSG and Milan. I think Milan have more Italian, or I'm sorry, more European experience. A lot of these Newcastle guys are kind of, as collectively as a unit, a bit lacking in European experience. And the
it's been like 13 years since we were ever there.
Yeah, but and the work and like the extra workload of like juggling a strong push in the Prem and top European competition, I think can be difficult. And Eddie Howe's not, I don't think, done that himself, been through that at all. So for those reasons, I will say PSG and Milan. I could easily see PSG tripping up and taking second, though.
Yeah.
I just...
The lights are very bright in the Champions League.
Yeah. Sorry, Dortmund.
The first match, Newcastle AC Milan, is the test of time for Newcastle at the San Siro. Yeah. Sandro Tonali returns to AC Milan. Maybe he'll crack a smile or two. Because
if he gets an own goal... You better hope he doesn't get an own goal, because you better look into that.
Yeah.
He'll get thrown in the time. Is there two groups left, G and H? Is that right?
Anyway, Steve, Newcastle first, PSG second.
Can we just skip over G? What a boring. This is.
Oh yeah. Story. Hey, my suspect at City getting the call earlier.
Dude, I'm so glad Steve's on this train now. I've been on it since I literally joined this damn podcast. I'm so done with City, dude. What?
One just asks the question. One can't look at that and not ask a question.
Man City, Red Bull Leipzig, Crvenka Zvezda.
I'm going with Red Star and Young Boys. Young Boys to make it out.
City and then Leipzig.
Red Star, Young Boys.
I would say Young Boys is third, and then Are they Czech? Poland?
Belgrade.
They're Croatian. No. What's Belgrade's in Croatia. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we correct? What happens to young boys when
Serbian.
They get older?
Serbian. Sorry, Alex, East European listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, Belgrade is in
Group H, Barcelona, Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, playing in, I don't know where they play. They don't probably, play where their home stadium is. I think they're playing Kyiv. And then Antwerp.
Porto, who has Pepe. Pepe, being 40 years old, is the oldest player to play in the Portuguese first division. Tell your friends.
Nice.
Gosh, man.
Like European nights at the Barcelona University Stadium or wherever they're playing this season.
They should have never torn that thing down. That's gonna be a bad juju thing for them, and I hope not because
Donetsk is
Ukrainian.
Yeah,
but it's not currently occupied by
Donetsk.
All you gotta say, they got a lot.
Get a little political here, but
they got a lot to play for. All right, so
Donetsk is one of the regions that's currently occupied, so they don't play in Donetsk. I think they play in
play in Kyiv. I thought they played a couple games in Poland for a while as well.
Yeah, it might be where they are.
So international governing football bodies are still taking Ukraine as their established borders that it must be and not recognizing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Donetsk goes first.
Yeah.
And Barcelona second.
All right. I like that.
I would like to see Porto in there, but
Donetsk will play their home games at Hamburg's stadium in Germany.
Antwerp's been doing. Toby, what's his name? Is it Jan Vertonghen? No, it's Toby.
Alderweireld.
Yeah. He just went back to Antwerp within the last couple years, and he has won, I think, the lead to get promoted or something like that. He's won. If you look at his recent history with Antwerp's recent history and how he correlates with that, it's his boyhood club, has gone back to it, and is now he scored a winner in a final, the first cup final they've won in 50 years, and then got him promoted to the Champions League for the first time in I forget how long. It's been in terms of riding off into the sunset, I don't think it gets much better than
I see Vincent Janssen as well, the old Tottenham guy,
who
everyone he's probably easily forgotten about.
Yeah, he's Toby Alderweireld has been, he's been doing it. If I was riding off in the sunset, I'd fall off my horse or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Two quick segments before we leave you.
Okay.
Grayskull.
Yes.
After this, we're talking about the Ballon d'Or shortlist.
Fun. Okay. Well, the better team, the good guys won this weekend. Thank goodness, because it was a bit of a nervous one. It was one when you score that early in a game. So the game ends 1-0. Celtic at Ibrox. Kyogo with I think a 45th minute volley on the edge of the box, if not just outside. I think catches the goalkeeper off. I forget the goalkeeper. It's not McGregor anymore. It's Butler. No, it's Birch. Anyway, doesn't matter. Got scored on. And Mike Beale loses his first Glasgow derby. We'll see how many of those he has left. That puts I was telling these guys before, or you guys, sorry, the before, but that was the first, I think, Old Firm or Glasgow derby that Celtic fans were not allowed into the away ground. So opposing fans, so that was a complete Ibrox filled with not a Celtic fan in there. And they were still able to, I think, to be able to still churn out a win in such a hostile environment with nobody of your own there, I think is quite a testament, honestly. I think it's a good, checkpoint for Rodgers in his, you know, his path of like continuing to develop a team. That was a really good test. And I think, although there was still pieces that it could, be worked on, he passed the test. Ultimately, he passed the test, which is good, especially because there was parts of that where we weren't, where there's large parts of the game where we weren't the most commanding force, the most dominating force, but to be able to still grind out wins like that is not only good for the league, but I think is also going to help us in Europe too.
Yeah. Apparently there were no fans because, back in March, it was only 708 tickets that were allotted by Rangers for Celtic fans. People in Parkhead, Celtic, said that they basically couldn't guarantee that their fans would be safe. So they denied those allocations.
That sucks. 'Cause you want to have it. That's a shame. Sucks, but it probably would have. It probably would have an even better atmosphere. But you know, good guys won. I guess
so. Good guys won. Yeah, good guys won. A couple of people. Not Palma didn't make his debut. I saw him warming up, but he didn't play. I'm trying to think of who else started. Joe Hart was playing the game of his life. Joe Hart. There was a lot
There were weird offside call for this match too. Rangers almost drew it, right?
Yeah, they did have one. Yeah, it was earlier. It was in the first half, and it was before we had scored. Mm-hmm. It was quite early in the game. I want to say like the first like 10 or 15 minutes. I'm trying to recall it now, and I can't quite clearly. But I remember thinking like
it's always. Sorry, like, sorry to interrupt. It wasn't an offside. It was a foul, right? It was when they won the ball. It was considered a foul. Yes.
And it was the most embarrassing of turnovers that you'd ever have seen. It was a center back facing the facing forward up the field. I forget who it was though, but he turned, he just passed up those options, decided against it, carried the ball, held on to it, and then under pressure just
got caught.
Yeah, got caught and he fell, and he did get caught. You could see him get caught, but you didn't see it at first, and you were just like, this is how this is going to go. It was like 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in. It was really nerve wracking, but when you saw it back, you were like, thank goodness. And it wasn't just fabricated. He did follow him to get the ball, but
was it a Lagerbilke?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, welcome to Glasgow.
Right. Yeah. You need like Cameron Carter-Vickers in there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Steve, this weekend, I'm going to a Greek festival here in Charlotte. And I really was thinking about how I really, really want, I was like, if I could have a Greek soccer jersey to wear there and have some Greek people, you know, say something to me, Georgios Samaras is who I voted for. Second place, Kostas Tsimikas, but not as, you know, it does not have
the Spirit Halloweens and all the Halloween stores are probably open now. If you can just find a long black, like a Cher wig, you're in.
What a beast that guy was, dude. And he had that Euro as well. All right, off topic. Celtic, who goes one? Sorry.
My boys' Hearts lost 1-0 to Motherwell, who are tied on points with Celtic up at the top. Top of the league, sharing a beer. Motherwell. Have they ever won? I don't think so.
You know, I think the Well have won. I'd have to look up when that was.
Have Motherwell ever won the Copa del Rey? Why is that what comes up? Motherwell's first and to this day only Scottish League championship was in 1931-32.
Yep.
So you can say it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Okay, I'm going to call this Trash Takes for this week, Ballon d'Or. Messi and Haaland leading the way on the 30 player list of candidates that were announced. No Cristiano Ronaldo.
Finally, they're coming to their senses. My trash take, I agree with.
Do you guys want the full 30?
No.
I'm okay with that. I don't think I have time for that one, to be honest.
Vicha Kvaratskhelia from Napoli. Kvaradona, the guy from Georgia. That's my trash take. He won't win it, but it's my trash take. So.
Do they have the top three? Or no? No, they don't.
It's just listed all.
It's just listed all of them. Okay. Yeah. You said Messi, Mbappe, and Holland. And I was thinking that was our three that I had to choose from.
Mbappe, Messi, or Holland for me. Real life take, but
I think the story of Messi in America is gripped me, and like it's fun to watch. So like I want to say Messi because he's been doing so well and it's so prevalent like in our social media streams and stuff like that here in America. But I think what Haaland's done in the Prem, I think is scary. I don't know how else to describe it besides scary. No one's done that before.
The only thing I'll say, he didn't score in the Champions
League. He also didn't win a World Cup. Messi. No, it's Messi.
I'm going to say Julian Alvarez.
Shut up.
Because if it's Messi, then I'll take the tact that Louis van Gaal did that we alluded to at the beginning of the show from Ben. He claimed earlier this week that the 2022 World Cup was rigged to help Argentina and Messi win. I'm not really sure of the evidence that he provided for that.
Yeah, not a lot of, because easily if Mbappe would have scored that breakaway, what would we be saying? Right. So whatever. Okay. Okay, Ben. All right.
When you see how Argentina gets the goals and how we get the goals and how some Argentina players overstep the mark and we're not punished, then I think it's all a preconceived game.
You always look bad when you come out and say that. You never look good.
I think it's Messi. Winning the World Cup at 35 and having a large whole, playing Let's a go, large Steve. Part, if not the major part, in all of those games, scoring those amount of goals at that stage of his career, he's not even at his peak anymore. He adapted his game so well and maximized his potential at that age, at those moments, to be able to do that consistently throughout the course of a tournament.
And then also
what he's doing in America. I know it's America versus like the Prem, but I think it's Messi. It has to be.
Yeah, not so much a trash take then, I guess. Normal take.
Yeah, sorry.
You know what, though? Life alert person of the week, Louis van Gaal.
I thought you were going to say Ben.
Yeah. He's Ben. Pretty easily. It could soon be Gareth Southgate. Apparently, he wants to leave after Euro. So, we'll see. That was the show.
Are we doing trash takes or are we not doing trash takes?
No, I think that Ballon d'Or was our trash take.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Stevanovic, Nathaniel, Alejandro. That's it. Goodbye.
No call my name. No call my name. Alejandro. Ricky Ricardo. Ricardo. Kill me back. Ricky Ricardo.